The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio. Thanks for tuning in and finding out about the unique programming that's going on in our school districts across Long Island and how our school districts are faring during this trying times, unique times, and challenges always present opportunities and opportunities to excel. And we'd like to welcome back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools, the Belmore School District, which is located in Nassau County. And the last time we spoke with their superintendent, he actually had a song that he helped he wrote himself, played himself, and actually was inspiring to the kids, particularly during the shutdown. So want to welcome back Dr. Joe Famularo. Joe, welcome back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools, and how are you doing?
Great, Bob. Great to be back. Great to see you.
Yeah, you were our first singing superintendent ever on Spotlight on Long Island Schools. And, the Belmore School District, for our listening audience that may have not tuned in the last time or may have forgotten, you guys are located in Nassau County. Give us a little background about your school district community, and also just update us on how you guys have been doing since September, because I think the last time we spoke, it was pre-opening, right? It was during the shutdown last time. You were preparing, so we were preparing and projecting. So a little bit about the Belmore school community and how things have been going since September.
Yeah, so much has happened since the last time we spoke. That was feels like yesterday, but so much happened. We're a small community. We're an elementary district, so we're a K-6 district. We actually have pre-K, which is pretty unique, half day and full day. I've been there almost 30 years, so I know the community very well, and just great people, great Board of Education teachers, and just really thrilled with the whole community and the culture. But yes, there's challenging times right now. We've been just going day to day, trying to get through and, making adjustments as new rules and regulations and the environment changes.
Great. And since September, how has the opening gone?
It has been going very well. We started off full in person for all of our students. And, there was so many unknowns, and that was the scary part, not knowing how, everything would play out. But it's been very successful. Teachers working together and just trying to figure out how to get the students feeling comfortable. I mean, that was really our number one goal, is the social and emotional piece of it, to make sure students feel safe in the environment. And then academics came next. So we actually used a theme that was safe and simple. That was it. Everything we do had to be safe and simple. Once we established that, then we can really introduce, more academics and get into that area.
And as is usually the case, I have found as a board member for almost 18 years now, kids adapt very quickly to changes in their habits, the structure, or, hey, you have to wear your mask. And I know particularly at the primary grade levels, I'm hearing not only in my own home district, but from districts across Long Island, the compliance that you have with the kids with the masks and socially distant. It's usually the adults that give us more trouble than the kids. The issues I've also heard in other districts is sometimes if somebody's exposed to a person that's positive or they're positive themselves, the impact that it could have, not just on that person who has to quarantine, but anybody they've been exposed to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's been staffing coverages. Have you been seeing similar issues as far as compliance with the kids and some of the challenges with quarantining?
You hit the nail on the head. This was the one thing I was probably the most incorrect about, was how the kids would react. In the summertime, I sat, we had barriers on every desk, and I would go in the last row, sit behind a barrier and say, how is a student going to sit here and learn? And boy, was I wrong. The kids have adapted. They have the most flexible individuals. As you said, adults have more difficulty than the kids, but the kids have been amazing. No problem with the mask. They're happy. They're excited to come in. That's really been the change in the whole, feel of, worrying about, how the kids going to react. And I think they're going to be, you know, a special generation because they had to learn adversity, flexibility that none of us ever experienced. So I think they don't realize it now, but I think in the long run, they look back on this and how they've learned to adapt and accept it and missed out on all the things that, you know, us adults think, oh, how can they live, move on without having a prom and all these other events, the baseball and soccer and hockey and basketball, but they're moving on. It's again, it's the adults because we have these deep paradigms of concern and they are just, you know, sponges and adapting. So it's very inspiring to watch how they're handling this.
You know, and it's funny that you say this is probably going to be a special generation of kids because, you know, we're almost a couple of months away from this being a full year of dealing with this pandemic. And I remember that full shutdown mid-March. And then how would the school year end and how could you make it memorable? And like you said, this generation of kids, you know, I was thinking back, I just recently lost a great aunt, 103 years old, she lived to. And she was alive during the last pandemic. And when you think about, she was part of the greatest generation, as they dubbed. They were probably part of the greatest generation because of the adversity that they all lived through, right? They lived through World War I, World War II, depression, you know, so many things, so many challenges that made them the greatest generation in their outlook and their work ethic and how they approached life. There's something special about people that come through adversity and their perspective afterwards. So, you know, if you're always trying to be the half full type of person, mm-hmm. half the glass is half full, maybe all of this adversity is going to have a long-term payoff for the short-term pain that we're going through. And that's our one biggest hope.
Oh, 100%. I think we've seen it now. I mean, they've adapted and just moving forward. And again, you know, it's amazing just to watch them. They're really truly inspiring to watch.
What are some of the things that you have kept a close eye on? Because again, with the shutdown, what percentage of your students, because you have to offer full virtual as well as full in person. Do you have a lot of folks taking advantage of the full virtual?
And yes. What would you say it's under 10%. So, you know, it's not. And again, that's just a great situation that we have, that student parents that are comfortable and that have full virtual. And then we have parents that want to be in person or in person. So we're really you know, given all the opportunities for anyone, you know, wanting their choices.
And your numbers are pretty low compared to the averages. I think the average is somewhere between 20 to 25% in most district systems. So that's a testament to what you guys are doing over there, keeping it safe and simple, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
The one thing, of course, in addition to the pandemic, we have witnessed a lot of social unrest. And educators always worry about the impact that the outside environments will have on their students and what they're absorbing and what they are observing and how they're relating to it. In addition to everything else that you guys have been dealing with, how have you, from the social and emotional standpoint, been making sure that you have the proper supports in place for all your students during this really trying time, both economically, socially, health-wise, things unprecedented? What are some of the things that you're doing at Belmore to support?
Yeah, character development is one of the most important things in Belmore. I mean, if you don't have a strong, safe, social, emotional environment that this creates this dynamic, positive culture, you're not going to have learning occur. So that's something we meet as a team constantly and look at what we're doing, what can we do, areas that we can improve on. But having many opportunities under this environment for students to communicate to each other, you know, there are intra-Zoom classes. You can have classes, you know, communicating with each other because we're really in pods. You know, each classroom is pretty much staying together in any elementary level all day long. But finding opportunities for students to share, you know, their experiences and giving that opportunity for students to express how they feel. I mean, you know, they you want to have people come in, and we have psychologists coming in, and it's good to have different people come into the classroom, socially distance and communicate with the kids, but giving them an opportunity to share their feelings.
Great. And what's been the biggest surprise outside of the kids with their compliance? What's also been the biggest surprise that you didn't anticipate in a positive way since your reopening?
Well, the kids for sure, and the parents. I mean, I can't tell you. We have PTA meetings, and we get so much positive feedback from our parents that are just supportive, understanding. You know, you get a call at 7:30 at night saying you have to quarantine for the next 10, 14 days. Mm. You know, and maybe some classes it's 2 and 3 times, and they understand. They get it. You know, we're working together as a team. I mean, that's one thing. The culture is so important. You know, when you have a strong culture, things move fast. And, you know, and that's what, you know, it's happening in Belmore.
And they're keeping it safe and simple in Belmore. And we're having a conversation with their superintendent of schools, Dr. Joe Famularo. And when we come back from the break, well, they've been received a special designation recently surrounding character education. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And also what's on the horizon for the Belmore School District as we near that round corner where we start looking at June and how it will be, and then eyes towards next September. So you're listening to the Spotlight on Long Island Schools with the Belmore School District on 103.9 LI News Radio. Take a look at our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. That's your place to suggest a program, club, or activity, or maybe a shining star in your school district that you would want right here in our spotlight. So when we come back from the break, a lot more about the Belmore School District on 103.9 LI News Radio and out on the web at linewsradio.com. I want to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, out on the web at linewsradio.com. Bob Vecchio, your host, and we're chatting it up with Dr. Joe Famularo. And if you remember, Dr. Joe Famularo, well, he was the first singing superintendent we had on our show. And he had a song for his kids at his school district in Belmore. It's a K through 6 school district. And it's really, Belmore is such a pretty little village in there in Nassau County. And if you ever get a chance to stroll on through the little nooks and crannies of Belmore, is really, really nice. And you got a great little system over there, Joe, with plenty of buy-in from your community, and it's great to hear how well things have gone since the reopening, because we've heard the good, we've heard the bad, and everything in between as far as what has worked and what hasn't worked. So character education, you touched on it earlier, and character education during these trying times, I think, gives kids the tools in their toolbox, if you will, on how to deal with life stressors. You know, before the pandemic and before the shutdown, it was the concerns we were having that the pressures of the kids and social media acceptance. And as educators, and I'm sure you've seen the same statistics, you know, the alarming rates of the mental health issues in primary grade levels. And I think what was most alarming for me was an increase in suicide rates at the primary grade levels was really startling. And that was, I was just thinking about this the other day. That was a workshop almost 4 years ago. We were hearing about that. So schools really started to pay attention to the social and emotional and the mental health needs of their students. And character education is such a big part of that. And you guys have recently received a special designation. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, this is another recognition for the, you know, work we've done on the character education. Very special. I mean, we talk about every day, you know, how can we improve social emotional development? So we develop it through our character development program. But it's about leadership. We our symbol of the district, our logo is a star, and in the center it has the word leadership. And we view every student as a leader. And when you think about that, you know, if you're a leader, you know, you're in charge of yourself first. How do you lead yourself? And then how do you lead with others side by side? And then maybe in the future, leading others. So focusing on leading yourself, that's how what we try to instill in every child. And when you do that, they start to understand what they have control over versus what they don't have control over. And that helps in, you know, the situations that we just discussed about social media issues and, you know, having all those negative forces coming from the outward world. When they start to understand that they have control over how they react to those events. They have 100% control of that. And that's really been very successful for us. And we've been recognized on a few fronts on that.
Yep. And one of the areas that you've been recognized, character.org, recognize you guys as a promising practices district. And from what I understand, they have 11 principles that is important to that organization that they look for being instilled in schools. touch base with us on some of those principles and how you've been able to instill them in your school culture.
Well, it's having having a vision that's clear, and that's, you know, it's a shared vision. So we have a vision statement that's a community of learners. We want to all be a community of learners, and it's just not just a few words. It really has a lot of meaning. Everyone is the community. First of all, we define as the students, parents, educators, everyone in our school community, and then learning, we refer to continuous improvement. So everyone in the culture in Belmore needs to improve. How do you improve? Improve academically, improve emotionally, through relationships. So it's this idea of continuous improvement. That's one aspect. And then that's the vision long-term. And then the mission is what we do every day. That's how we act every day. And that's lead and learn. So everything we do has to be focused around leadership and learning. And, you know, that really keeps us moving in the right directions and, you know, keeps us on track for our vision.
Anytime you implement a program, you always look for the outcome data as far as the success, or where, like you said, you don't have to be bad to be better. Where can steps be taken to be improved, and how to shore up the system a little stronger? What are some of the outcomes that you look for, and what are some of the feedback data that it's showing you that, well, our character education program is paying us dividends in this area, or here's where we've seen some improvements? What are some of the data sets you've looked at?
Early on, we've been doing this for many years, but we used to have referral books. I remember these way back when we had issues with students, and we don't even have the books anymore. I mean, that was like a hard data where they just dropped off, and you create this environment where, you know, peer relationships, students are looking to help each other. Leadership principles is think win-win. So when students are having conflict, you know, they have to think win-win, find a solution that works for both of them. That's the logo that they understand. So when they're in a conflict, not compromise, and compromise is I'm giving something up and you give something up. This is, it's actually a higher level. It's finding a third alternative. It really helps kids to think, okay, let's just don't compromise. Let's find something we both can do. You know, it might be sitting out there that we haven't thought of yet. So when we see kids do this on the playground and in the classrooms, you know, there's all your data. You know, we see it live and in person every day.
That's great. And Joe, you know, for brand new parents, right, as they enter your building with their children for the first time and everybody has the high expectations, you know, there's a lot written about or talked about as far as what are some good parenting tips. And it's not like so much the do's and the don'ts, but here are some solid practices that can help. Because listen, a successful school has a successful school community, right? What goes on in the community happens in the school. What happens in the school goes on in the community. So the partnership that you have to foster with your parents, not only with what their expectations are of you, but your expectations are of them. What are some of the tips and tricks that you give parents? Because there's always a lot of concern with kids with the constant stimuli of devices, iPads and iPhones. And there's some studies now that are being conducted. Are there some harmful effects with the constant barrage of stimuli and there's no downtime? What are some of the things that, some of the pieces of advice that you guys try to pass along to your school community?
Yeah, I think an important piece is having common language, you know, the language that we use in school that parents use at home. So, you know, in order for that to happen, we have to communicate, and we send home regularly the leadership principles so students, the parents can use the language of think win-win, or begin with the end in mind, put first things first, synergize. These are words we use in the classroom. Parents use them too. The idea of mission statements, every classroom develops a classroom mission statement. I think that's such a powerful tool. And we even, you know, give workshops for parents to do family mission statements, to sit around with your family and discuss, you know, what are we about, you know, and kids get it because they know they did it in the classroom. We know we have a mission statement for the school. So I think that common language, communicating with parents, letting them know what's happening at school so students hear the same language is so important. And a few words mean a lot, right? If it's it's like a picture says 1,000 words. Well, if you have common language, you only have to say a few words, like think win-win, means so much to the kids because we spend so much time defining it.
And the other thing I would say is, I'm sure you probably track your kids after they leave your building, right? And how do your kids do when they get up into that Central High School system and then beyond? How do the Belmore kids do? Because again, it's about the foundation. It's the building blocks you give them in those very early primary years. So talk to us about give us some of the pride and the boasting that you want to do about the Belmore kids.
There's nothing better to get, you know, an email or a letter or them coming by and sharing, you know, what they learned in Belmore Elementary. So, you know, not only we had, you know, students do in the Regeneron contest and all of those great awards, but just the students that come back and say, you know, those leadership principles that we learned helped me get a job, helped me define my way. You know, many colleges are teaching these leadership principles. They're the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, written by Stephen Covey. So we've adapted it. There's actually the program where we were recognized as a Lighthouse District called Leader in Me uses those 7 habits. So these are these are principles that are based in evidence. They're timeless, universal life principles that they teach in college, but we've adapted it from pre-K, and we do it every year for 8 years with the kids. And when they leave and go on, they come back, and it's definitely had positive impacts on their lives.
Great. Looking ahead now in our last minute and a half here, you know, here we are at the beginning of a new year. Talk to us about what the plans are for Belmore and what your goals are for the remainder of this very unique school year.
Yeah. So, you know, we're hoping and that, you know, it just continually on this, in this positive process, and that we can have a more normal spring. I mean, you know, that's the, that's the goal, and trying to figure out end of year celebrations and all of the good things that, you know, we like to do. But whatever it is, I know it'll be positive. I know we'll have support from parents. We'll make it special for the kids. That's why I wrote the song last year. I felt like the class of 2020 didn't get the send off. So trying to give them something special. And, you know, we're hoping and we think it's going to be a more positive spring for sure from last year. So, you know, we'll just keep moving forward.
Well, Dr. Joe Famulero, I want to thank you for joining us from the Belmore School District in Nassau County. And we look forward to hearing from you again next week about another topic. And we want to thank you for tuning in once again to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. Check out the Facebook page, your place to suggest a program, club, or activity so that your kids are the next one right here in our spotlight.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.